Up next on American Restoration.
This is a velocipede, a track inspection device.
This sort of looks like another basket case of yours.
This is cool.
Yeah, I brought this Willard battery charger. Until you get into it, you're not going to know what you have.
You see how this one fits?
Yeah.
You got a lot of gap.
That's horrible.
So we need a gear. What are we going to do? Really be careful. Just basically take your fingers off.
We're rolling.
We're rolling.
Yeah, baby. And
then we got going fast. I thought, oh, my God. I'm going to die.
I'm Rick Dale. And at my shop, we share a passion to give new life to pieces from the past. Every project has its challenges, but there's no job we can't handle. This is American Restoration.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hello, Rick.
How you
Hi,
been?
Tyler. I work for the Nevada Northern Railway in Ely, Nevada.
What is this?
Well, we got you something special here.
This sort of looks like another basket case of yours.
We have brought six other items to Rick to restore, and I'm really hoping he can restore this one, too. This is a velocipede. These two wheels would ride on one rail, and then the other wheel would ride on the other rail to give you balance. You would pull the handlebars back towards you, and then your feet would be on the pedals there, pushing it away. So it's like a rowing machine. And they used it for track inspection. You can get up to about 20, 25 miles an hour on this.
Wow. You're not stopping on a dime, that's for sure.
I love it.
So what's the story on this? I mean, how did these come about?
Well, if you go to the 1870s, there was a gentleman by the name of George Sheffield who lived 5 miles down the track from where he worked. And so he had to walk that 5 miles. Well, that got old. So he cobbled something like this together, and he's coming home one night, finds a broken rail, and he reports that to the railroad.
Oh, yeah.
And they go,
well, how'd you see that?
How'd you see that? And he showed them this, and they liked it so much, they said, will you make some for us? And he started producing them for railroads.
They liked it so much, they didn't throw them in jail.
Yeah. Our intention is to have it out at the Nevada Northern Railway Museum, and we'll let the general public ride it.
So you want this looking exactly like it did back
exactly.
in the day?
Exactly. So the $64,000 question, Rick, how much?
It's a little complex because there's stuff missing, and those are old gears. We're going to have to tear it down, sand all the wood, paint it, powder coat the pieces, redo the bearings, finish it all, beautiful $7,500.
Okay, $7,500. I'll tell you what, could you do it for $7,000 and I'll throw in a locomotive rental. So you can come up to the railway museum and be the engineer.
Bribing you. That's all you had to say to me.
You're on. There's no way in hell I can pass up a chance to drive a locomotive. I'm as excited as a little kid right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's go in the office. I want to hear how the museum's doing.
Okay.
I want to know how the wigwag's doing.
The wigwags are doing great.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Rick. Kelly said you're going to be a little while, and this customer brought in some cool stuff to get restored.
Yeah, I'm Rick.
How are you?
Rick, nice to meet you, Eric.
Good to meet you. This is cool.
Yeah, I brought this Willard battery charger and also this old gas pump.
I love this kind of stuff because after World War II, cars became a symbol of American culture. And stuff like this became very collectible and valuable.
This is a cool battery charger. It looks like it's probably in the 40s. The Willard company's been around since the late 1800s. This one's from Toronto, but they started in Cleveland, Ohio. So how do you see this done?
Well, if possible, if we can get it to work as it was originally designed and built, that would be optimum.
Being how old it is and cars didn't have 12 volt to the mid-50s, this is probably a 6-volt charger.
Right.
So this may have to be updated because everything's 12 volt nowadays.
You know, I'll definitely get inside there and figure it out. But I would do all this exterior in red, do the black coming over top, black on the bottom, redo this plate, redo the plate on the side so it just looks like it's a brand new battery charger. And what else you got?
This old Bennett pump, I thought this would look good outside my shop.
It's a beautiful, beautiful pump. And it's right out of the 30s. It's got such great lines. It's got these really cool shoulders on it.
This is a computing pump, and they were invented in 1933, I think.
They can actually tell you how much money you're spending. So what happens after $9.99?
Right.
That was as high as this gas would ever go.
I spend $100 in my truck. I wish I could spend $10 again.
So, Rick, what do you think it'll cost to restore both these parts for me?
All right, well, this particular one, all restored, is going to be $6,800. And that one over there is going to be $2,500.
To tell you the truth, I think doing the pump and the charger is going to be out of my budget. So I think I'd like to concentrate on this charger, go forward with that.
Okay.
But this pump, you say this is a rear pace.
Yeah.
What would you think about buying this pump from me?
How much you want for it?
I think I'd like $600 for that pump.
You know what? I would love to buy that pump. So instead of that being $2,500, it's going to be
$1,900. Okay.
All right. Cool. All right. Great. Awesome. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks, bud. You don't have that thing torn down yet? Mark wants to be able to put it at the museum, so we don't want one piece of this thing wrong or out of place. If we don't have this, we're screwed. You can hit that gear, and that machine will be well worth its money.
So what do I get if I make it?
You don't have that thing torn down yet?
Just getting some pictures right now.
Okay.
What is this, Rick?
This is called a velocipede. They went all over the country fixing the railroads or checking it with this. Mark wants to be able to put it at the museum, so we don't want one piece of this thing wrong or out of place. I don't know if it's missing parts. I mean, this one has a bar here, but no bar here. And something tells me that this seat isn't original either. It looks like somebody redid it and made it out of pine, but I'd like to make it out of oak so that it lasts a lot longer. Since it was patented, maybe we can look at the patent picture. And then you get his whole project, and you gotta label each part and each thing of what that does. That'd be where we wanna find it.
Can we start tearing this down now or what?
Yeah, get it done, okay?
You got it, Rick.
All right, Rick, so I got the John Deere pedal tractor all wiped down. I just need your final approval.
Hell, that looks fantastic.
Right?
Look at the paint job on that.
It's nice.
This is a real unique restoration because you have two different pieces that were in the boneyard that were found on two different picks.
Yeah.
Ron found this tractor made by Ertl when he brought in that monster load from Chicago. And this piece made by Murray came from the Rose Bowl that Tyler ended up with. So the customer saw the tractor, and it was actually sitting next to the trailer, and said he wanted to combine both of them together so he can give it to his grandkids. So instead of the kid riding around on some plastic piece of junk that will break in 2 days, they've got this sturdy thing that's been lasting for 50 years.
I know. I feel like a chump now. I had, like, the plastic toys and...
No, I bet. You lived in a plastic world.
I'm in the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, right?
Yeah, it looks perfect together.
The way they manufactured these, they cast them in sand. So the aluminum would look really, really rough. We sanded it all out to make it look like a goddamn racing tractor to where it's really, really smooth. And you see the paint job Ted put on it? I mean, it's just beautiful. He cleared over everything. You sort of see the motor design over here.
This thing looks good.
The trailer on the back here used to be all destroyed. We did all the body work and everything. Ted did all the decals and the art here. Made it operate again to where you can actually lift up and dump the bed. Together, it's a total package. Well, I think it's ready. I don't see a flaw on it. It all works. It looks great. Let's go ahead and get it shipped out.
All right, cool.
Okay? Yeah. I wish I was six again.
Hey, can you make some room on this table? It's like carrying a small elephant.
You look like you're suffering.
What? Jesus. This is the box of parts for the velocipede.
Okay.
And I'm having trouble figuring out what's what here.
All right, let's just get some parts out. Let me figure out if we can put this thing together. This would go like that. Mount that there. This would go right like that. And then the next one is the axle. This piece here would go in here. You push the row handle to move this big gear. So you only have to push it a little to get the small gear spinning the axle really fast. So it's a lot easier to pedal.
You don't have to pedal this as much to make this go as fast.
That's correct. The problem is, you see how this one fits, right? You see how this is not in there?
Yeah.
You got a lot of gap.
That's horrible.
Well, you see how these? These are a lot tighter, right?
Yeah.
Mark wants to be able to actually drive it. Sooner or later, this is going to totally break down, and it won't work. So we need a gear.
Yeah.
This is the piece that actually makes it work. If we don't have this, we're screwed. We're bottom line, we're screwed. So we need a gear.
Yeah, Mark doesn't have one.
You know, some manufacturing company could go ahead and make one, but they're gonna charge us an arm and a leg. Yeah.
I mean, if we were to send this out to try to have it cast, it would have to be perfect, which it's not.
And it wouldn't last, it's cast.
Yeah.
I don't know, what are we gonna do?
What about the Omax?
The reason why we got the machine is so that we can make parts like this.
Yeah, but we don't really know how to use it yet, Dad.
We just got in a new machine called the Omax that might be able to reproduce what we need. But we're a little green on it, and the gear has to be perfect. You've been practicing a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Will it cut something this thick?
I've only cut thin metal. Sheet metal.
At the moment, it's the only option we have.
I know it's gonna be difficult because it's your first time trying to make a gear. If you can hit that gear, right, you're gonna save us a lot of time, and that machine will be well worth its money.
So what do I get if I make it?
This will be an achievement that will be appreciated deeply by me. And that you got to put in your pocket.
The gear? You want me to put the gear in my pocket?
I want you to put depreciation in your pocket.
Oh, that pocket's too small.
You're a smart ass, that's what you are.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, go.
I hope it works.
Oh, that's cool. Son of a bitch.
I'm here to pick up my Willard battery charger. Let's see this thing.
You got it in your eyes, Zach.
I'm ready,
you're
man.
In your head, right?
Let's see it.
Hey, Ty.
What's up?
Figured it out?
I hope so.
We're restoring a 104-year-old Velocipede, and it has a gear on it that is extremely worn out. There's no parts for a piece this old, so we're gonna try to make one with our new Omax water jet machine. The problem is we really don't know how to work it yet, so hopefully we can work this thing out because we're out of options. The way that it works is that it's basically taking high-pressure water and uses garnet, like a sort of like sand. And then this little nozzle right here mixes them together and it creates 50,000 PSI.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And the thing is, we gotta figure out if it's gonna do what we need to do. So we gotta try it out.
This machine takes time to program, it's expensive to operate, and it would take hours to cut that gear out of a 2-inch piece of steel. So we're gonna cut it out of a thin piece of material to make sure we have everything right, and then we'll do the real thing.
We gotta really be careful with this nozzle. Just basically take your fingers off, and I guarantee it'll carterize it as it goes, and you're just coming out with nubs. Am I gonna get wet?
No. All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, go.
I hope it works.
You said I wasn't gonna get wet.
My bad.
Oh, now you put the water up. So that's cool, it's cutting the hole for the center right now. Oh, that's cool. Lift it up. Son of a bitch. Did you lower that water down again just to give me a little splash? Little smart ass. Bring the water down. Good. Almost there. All right, let me see.
There's that.
Looks good.
There's that.
All right, so that's the hair off.
Well, that sucks.
You gotta keep tweaking and trying and tweaking and trying until you get it perfect, Tyler. So we need to try to do that before we actually cut the big piece, because this is expensive to run. I gotta go prep that battery charger for Eric. I'll come back and check on you. Well, and hopefully that gear is exactly what we need.
Yeah. Eric's here for the battery charger.
All right. Hey, Eric.
How you doing?
How you been?
Good, good. You?
It stinks, Ron.
I'm here to pick up my Willard battery charger. I'm hoping Rick was able to get it to work.
Eric, when you brought this battery charger in, what do you remember it looking like?
It was rough, dented. I think it even had some mud on it. There had been some welded repairs. Right. Just, you know, the cables were missing.
Right.
It was rough, very rough.
Right. All right. So here we go. You ready?
Let's see this thing.
One, two. You got it in your eyes, Zach.
I'm ready.
You're in your head, right?
Let's see it.
Three.
Wow. Look at that. It's awesome, because that metal was just beat up, holes in it all over the place.
Right.
All the knob came out nice. You can't compare them at all. Good work, man. It looks great.
It's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, it is.
Like you said, everything on it was dented because it's so small that it was probably carried around a lot, not wheeled.
Right.
And then it got beat up. So what we did was sandblasted it, eliminated all the holes, did all the body work on the red portion of it.
The glass on the amp meter and everything's all been cleaned up. The knob itself got polished out. This is actually Bakelite knob.
And on the inside was some coolest looking stuff. But it would never work again because it was missing electrical parts. So I left everything inside there. And we put a newer battery charger on the top of that. And it works great.
So what you do is take the positive lead, which is red, and hook it to the positive portion of the battery, the negative to the black one, and a few hours later, you're good to go.
It'll charge any battery, it'll trickle charge, it'll high-speed charge. You know, you're going up to a car and you got a totally dead battery, you can put it on it, and boom, it'll start it, you know?
To see it back in this condition is just really awesome.
What are you gonna do with it?
What I want to do is use it as a raffle item for a benefit for a good friend of mine. He had kidney failure and actually just had a kidney transplant.
Wow, so he's okay?
Yeah, he's doing great. And
yeah, so you're going to do a benefit and make some of those medical bills up?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're a good man. Yeah, well, good luck on the benefit. I hope you do really well with that, you and your
Thank
friend.
You.
I hope your friend stays healthy. Let's go inside and I'll cut you a little donation right now. Come on.
Okay,
come on.
Rick, thanks.
Pick your nose in my car.
Not yet.
I feel just like a kid. This is cool.
I'm operating the train.
You are operating the train.
Today, Ron Leonard and I are heading up to Ely, Nevada, some 242 miles north of Las Vegas. This is home of the Nevada Northern Railway Museum, and I love coming here. I mean, the museum is really cool and full of early 20th century equipment, and half the stuff I've restored. It's great seeing things like they were back in their heyday, and I can't wait to show the Velocipede to Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
Hey. How's my philosophy?
Oh, man, yeah. I came out good. I can tell you're excited.
Oh, I am excited, yes.
I didn't even have to ask.
What I'd like to do is I wanna unload it, and I don't want you seeing it.
So. Yes, of course. After you get everything set up, we'll meet on the end of the tracks over there.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
The thing that I'm most worried about with this restoration is Rick has never seen a Velocipede before. And you just don't go to your corner Velocipede store and say, hey, I need parts.
Mark, when you brought this Velocipede in, it was pretty rough. I mean, you remember that?
Well, yeah, it was only 104 years old.
There were some pieces off. The gears were all off on the bottom. Some of the wheels were off.
It was a basket case, yes. So. Okay.
Okay. All right, here we go. All right. One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Oh, my. That is just grand.
What do you think?
I'm speechless. You guys, you made it look like a museum piece.
Yeah, I tried.
Just like we were asking for.
Good.
This is astounding. Did we give you all of the gears?
We were missing one gear.
One gear.
Right.
It was an easy find, right?
We didn't go find it. We actually had to make it. The rear gear was our problem. It was totally stretched because it gets the most torque.
Right, exactly.
So we got this new machine in. It's called an Omax, and what it does is it takes water pressure and shoots down.
Yes.
And it just literally drew the gear. We actually made that whole gear.
Wow.
These wheels, I mean, this is steel, but the rims are wood. So we took all these apart, painted them, and then put them back exactly how they went. We ended up building these out of oak. So now it's not as wobbly anymore, and it'll last another 110 years.
Cool.
Okay? But everything else on it, we left original. And as far as the color, underneath this toolbox, that was the only thing that had the original color, right on the bottom. So we pulled it off, turned it over. Here's this color right on the bottom.
Cool.
People come in and ride,
yes.
ride on it.
Yes.
So you give them a little cushion.
Yes.
Wait, we did it the other way, too.
Oh.
The real man ended up sitting on that bad
yes,
boy.
Yes, exactly. So, can we take it for a test ride?
Yeah.
Let's see this baby in action.
We'll take it for a spin. All right, there we go.
Yeah. Look at that. I mean, could you imagine trekking the tracks, riding that far? He looked like he was having fun. He was getting a little bit of a workout there. It was good.
I'm impressed.
What do you think?
Oh, it's fabulous.
You only went 300 feet.
The last time you saw it looking like this was in 1910. So to actually be able to see it, how it came off the factory floor, and of course having our logo on it too was a nice, nice touch.
You promised me a train ride. So is this a train I'm gonna get to ride?
I'd be honored. This is what makes the Nevada Northern such a special place. This locomotive was delivered right here, July of 1910. And still doing today what its designers and builders intended over a century ago. Let's go up.
When I crawled up in that thing, the smell of the coal and the oil, it was so intense.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
No. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Two toots. Grab your throttle there.
Okay.
And ease it back to you. Keep her coming. Just a little more. And there we go.
We're rolling.
Yes. So pull it.
Nice. Driving that thing was the most incredible thing I've ever done. I mean, I felt like I was in the 1900s. It was an incredible ride. The amount of force and weight that's pushing you. And then we got going fast. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. It was a lot of fun.